With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day... He vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is... Now! The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And I'm here with Chef Travis Milton, who will be cooking up some tasty dishes for the holiday season at Dash 37 Board 27. And Travis, we've got our man Josh Conrad back. Josh is back from the holiday madness of being a pastor. You can follow Josh at Josh_Conrad. Josh, we haven't talked to you in a while, but
I
need to know, how was the holiday season for a pastor? How does that go?
Yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, think of all the things you like to do with your families and the moments, mm-hmm. and the traditions, and then just cast them aside for a few minutes and think through church services and ordering and, you know, volunteer recruitment and all the things that have to go into, just like the church service traditions that maybe you and your family like mm-hmm. to go to. And on that side of the wall, or on that side of the equation, is a guy like me. So I am at this point done with, we have completed our extra Christmas stuff as a church. And so I am now making a little charcuterie board and talking to my boys about the Jets. I am ready for Christmas.
I have one question though. Also, in addition to all the extra activity and frenzy of events and things like that, that you have to do, how much extra pastoral care work are you doing at this time of year, as opposed to, like, just give me like a percentage or a 1x, 2x kind of thing compared to what you're doing normally?
Yeah, it's probably the same amount of care, except that it shifts. And so, not to get us too heavy here, but, you know, people that, you know, the holidays are difficult, they've lost a family member, you know, there's been a difficult season for them, you know, that there's a shift in the kind of conversations I have with people, mm-hmm. but it's not more or less, it's just a different rhythm. But I will say that, you know, what I enjoy about this season is that most of the time through the month of December, because we do so much as a church, I do get every request made of me usually starts with the caveat of, hey, we know you're so busy right now. And so if we don't get to this till 2020, that's okay. And so I do get to push all the things off that I don't really want to be doing right now to next year. And so that does make a little bit of a break here right at the end of the year.
Nice. Well, we're going to take that break. We're going to use it, Travis. We are going to celebrate the fact that the Jets won. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at MetLife Stadium, final home game of the season. They've won 5 of their last 7, 16-10. Jets win over the Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph show. Who do we have to thank for this? Josh, we'll start with you. Who do we thank?
Yeah, I thank our defense, and I thank the fact that the Steelers' quarterback play has been really, truly terrible over the last 2 weeks. And so we did just enough offensively to win, and it felt good. You know, it does make you look back at the schedule now with a little bit of frustration, thinking if we beat the Dolphins, we beat the Bengals, that, you know, next week we're staring at the potential of sneaking into the playoffs, and obviously that's not going to happen. So, but I'm grateful. I'm thankful for this defense. It made the day fun. I'm thankful for an inept Steeler quarterback position that made a win like that possible.
Travis, who are you thanking for this Jets 16-10 win?
I'm thanking my dude, number 20, Mr. Marcus May. He played his ass off yesterday. You can really see the difference it makes having somebody play the position that they're supposed to be playing.
Yeah, which we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, right? Yeah, great point.
Yeah, I mean, when he's playing center field, you know, he's pretty on point, and I think he and Jamal like free each other up to do what they do, and when one of them's not there, it's not a great situation. So it was great seeing him back in his natural spot, and he legit played his ass off. It was a great game for him, and again, just like Jeff said, thankful to the fourth string quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, third and fourth, I guess.
Yeah, are we thankful to ourselves, the Jets fans, for not showing up and let it become a terrible towel convention? Are we thankful to ourselves, or are we mad at ourselves, or do we, or can we not blame ourselves, the fans, for not showing up?
It did look like,
for not paying.
yeah. Let's take it easy on ourselves as Jets fans. There's no solid reasons to show up for some things for that.
Yeah, a couple days before Christmas, you got I understand, but yeah, it was funny to like. I was listening to it on the radio, and then I was watching it a little bit on TV. It's just like the cheers for like. I think I was listening to one play, and it was like the Jets, what happened? It was like a negative play. I don't know. Le'Veon Bell was stuffed for negative 2 yards or something like that. And the cheers went up. And so I'm listening to the radio call to the Bob Wachusett radio call. And the way that the people were cheering, I was so confused because I was like, he hadn't even gotten the words out of what happened. But I heard the cheers and I was like, oh, it must have been a really good play. And then I was like, it stopped for a loss of negative 2 yards. And I was like, oh, right, it's all the Steelers fans. And then I turned off the game.
It's one of the first times I've ever had to see a home team have to quiet a crowd.
So bad.
Nuts.
Wait, you mean an away team quiet a crowd?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Yeah, either way. It's funny, but so we're not, we're gonna say, hey, it's okay, fans. We're not our best selves this year, for a variety of reasons. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting how some of these stadiums are just becoming the road shows for these other teams. Like, whether it's the Chargers or the Raiders or the Jets or the Dolphins, it's just like all the other. Teams with the big fan bases, the Cowboys or whoever, they all just descend on these games. And it is a little bit unsettling. So hopefully the end of this year will encourage ourselves and other fans to show up and kind of plan for being there next year, because maybe it'll be better. So other than Marcus May, other than not the fans, what about Sam Darnold? How do we feel about Sam Darnold? I mean, I would say he did, he threw 16 of 26, did a decent job taking care of the football. 61% completion percentage, 95 rating. Not spectacular, but I think one of the things, Travis, that we talked about was this is a pretty good secondary. So I guess what I'm saying is 61% passing percentage, did a good job, protecting the ball. I'm okay. I think he did it. He did what he needed to do based on his supporting personnel to take care of what needed to get taken care of in this game. You agree?
I thought he played a pretty sloppy game, to be honest. I think he made it out miraculously without any interceptions. He made a couple of very bonehead throws into double, sometimes triple coverage. I think he, by the grace of God or whoever, like, he came out without any interceptions. He lost the ball to that T.J. Watt sack.
Yeah, that sack. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a pretty ho-hum game for him, and I was not very impressed. I won't say that I was, like, depressed about it. I didn't look at it and go, oh, he's regressing. No, I just thought it was a pretty sloppy game all around for him. I'm glad he came out with the completion percentage they did, and we're still sticking to that. We're going to score on the first drive because the scripted plays are perfect, and then right. when it's not scripted, it's just kind of sloppy. So I was pretty unimpressed with his play, to be honest.
Josh, I just had a revelation on how we turn Adam Gase into the greatest coach of all time.
Oh,
he
boy.
Scripts 70 plays.
Yeah. That's that would be one thing to do. That's an idea.
I'm just saying if he's doing well with scripted plays for the first 10 to 20 plays, just script 100 plays, man.
Here's what's interesting. Like, obviously, I mean, we've talked about it several times this year. Those first drives, they look so good, and then things fall apart. And is that due to coaching? Is there just a deficiency there? Is there something about the regularity of throughout the week, knowing exactly what the first 8 to 10 play calls are going to be, that makes Sam Darnold really comfortable? But you're right. Like, just add more. Like, keep doing the things you're doing well.
It's like, I could just see Adam Gase in his office. Like, God, I'm so good on first drives. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I can't figure it out after that first drive or the first quarter. Gosh, what could I do? And just sitting there hitting his head against the desk. And then he has this revelation. Just script more plays. Oh, that's it. And obviously that doesn't hold up when you consider like they're scripting plays versus game script, right? Like, that's a very different thing. And so what I would then say to Adam, I would then slink into his office kind of very, very, surreptitiously and say, I've got the perfect plan for you, Adam. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to script the entire game. But what we're going to do is we're going to create a choose your own adventure. So, like, hey, you guys score on the first drive and you're up 7-0 or up 3-0. Perfect. Okay. Choose your own adventure. You're up 3-0. Now you do this set of plays. Or, you're down, you're down 7-3 now after both teams doing their first drive. Okay. Now we're going to go this way with the script. So, like, I know this is stupidest oversimplification of what NFL coaches do, but I think that's what I would do. And that would give him the placebo confidence to actually like have regular drives with, scoring drives throughout the game.
Yeah.
Just the first.
And let's not forget too. I mean, there was that Minka Fitzpatrick pass interference on the,
He scripted that. What are you talking about?
He can control all things at all times.
Yeah. If you write it down, have this it's going to
picture
happen.
In my head of Adam Gase, like after the first drive, on the sideline, just going, God damn it! Like they're that's not in the defense changed. They didn't tell me they were going to change. I didn't write that.
I didn't write that.
Shit! What do I do now?
Just sitting. I can see him just sitting at his desk, like with his pen, like tipping his pen on his chin or kind of on his tongue. Like, what comes next? As if he's like Shakespeare, with a plume. Inspiration. Here we go. Now I'm going to write the next set of plays. So that's not the answer. So you're saying scripting all plays of the game is not the answer, but you are right. It is weird when you start to see that happen over as much time, like, you know, over the course of a season, you're like, okay, this is not just a trend. Like, we have data that we're starting to see line up here. So you're right. You're getting back to the point, Travis, you're right. It wasn't the greatest game from Sam Darnold. There were a couple passes, and right, you see that from him where he's gonna force some throws. Like the touchdown from 2 weeks ago where he basically like threaded the needle between three players. And who was it that caught the ball while they were going out of bounds? Was that Jameson Crowder? I can't remember. Like, he has some plays where he definitely gets away with some amazing, it's like prolific throw. You know, five players in the league can make that kind of a throw. But then, right, like, it doesn't always translate. Like, you know, sometimes it's just lightning in a bottle. And that was a, you know, he can't always do that. What about Le'Veon Bell? Are we thankful for Le'Veon Bell and his 25 carries for 72 yards?
Nah.
Right. I mean, it was funny when it was like reading through all the articles, it was like his season high 25 carries for 70 yards. It's like, oh my God. All right.
That was
so
brutal.
we're under 3 yards per carry. Awesome. Cool.
You know what? You know, I mean, we're seeing Kenyon Drake, who got traded obviously to the Cardinals and has been lighting the world on fire. If we get on the other side of Adam Gase with Le'Veon Bell on this team, I do think that there are still explosive plays in that guy's body. Like, I think that Adam Gase now has a little bit of a track record of not getting all the best out of his running backs. And so I am hopeful that, you know, Lev Bell can return to the 20 carries, 155 yards, two touchdowns kind of a guy. I just don't know. It just depends on when Adam Gase gets out of town.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, you can say, well, that's not fair to Adam Gase. Like, you know, he didn't have a great, you know, team in Miami. It's like, yeah, well, he did have like Laremy Tunsil and like, you know, that's pretty good, right? Like, one of the best tackles in the entire sport. Like, you know, it's not like he had nothing, right? So yes, to your point, I think there is this weird thing about Gase, and I can't articulate it right now, but he has this sense of the kind of running back he wants, and the kind of running back he wants is not like, I don't know. It's just not, he wants more the Tevin Coleman type, which is like a straight line, tons of speed, but like low agility kind of stuff versus like someone like Jay Ajayi, who, you know, however you feel about him, he's kind of an all-purpose running back, you know, rugged, can catch and, you know, catch the ball and run the ball. And I just, his idea in his brain of how he wants to deploy his running backs seems to be at odds with what much of the league is doing. And I agree. It is, I think it's kind of a blind spot for him. So I agree. There's probably more meat on the bone than Bell has been able to get this season. But, you know, as we've talked about all year, this offensive line is just, you know, burning dog shit.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
It is nice, though, to see, kind of as we talk about players like Marcus May, you know, some success early in the games, Sam Darnold not having his greatest game, but not utterly imploding, seeing ghosts, as it were, against this, you know, one of the top secondaries in the league. You know, and so you start to see some of the comments. I can't find it right now, but Jamal Adams was, you know, saying, you know, it's disappointing we're not going to make the playoffs this year, but like, this is kind of the progress and the improvement that we want to see. We've got to carry that into next year. Le'Veon Bell says, you know, now we're starting to see the ship turn a little bit. And granted, they were playing Duck Hodges, you know, and then, you know, Sam Darnold, there were definitely some bright spots that we can continue to work on this offseason. We're not too far away, but I think we've just got to contribute to press to be more consistent. And so, right, I would say I think this team needs to be more consistent. But one of the best ways to be more consistent, as we've talked about all year, is by having better talent, right? Like, just having better talent will make you more consistent, because you're not going to be turnstiling JJ Watt, or, you know, just blowing assignments, or, you know, unable to get open in, you know, in press coverage, or whatever the situation is. So, like, as we talk about the kind of upcoming offseason, and as the Jets players look into the offseason, Josh, Travis and I got the opportunity to talk about our wish lists a little bit. And we spent a lot of time on cornerbacks and offensive linemen in the last couple of weeks, as we're just talking about players to, you know, to keep and sign and get rid of and all that sort of thing. Are there players on your wish list, or, you know, types of players that kind of are at the top of your wish list when it comes to the New York Jets, since you didn't get a chance to contribute in that conversation?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, you know, I know we always want to, you want to use the draft to build your offensive line. I'm not sure what the NFL, you know, free agent picture is going to be looking like for,
you know. There's a number of decent players. Like, Travis and I were running through it last week, and but, like, you know, it's going to depend on who re-signs with their own team, just like every year. But there should be a couple guys who make it through and are at varying positions. And our assessment was either kind of go after, whether it's tackles or guards, maybe you find your center in the draft. You know, there's probably going to be some value in the second round at center. And maybe, right, some of the guys you get at guard, or like, maybe you invest more in the guard position, and then you try and find tackles and centers through the draft. But you're going to have to overpay for these guys. That was kind of our assessment.
Yeah. And certainly I think that's where we're going to be. Obviously, I think it starts in-house. You know, I'm starting to, you know, turn the corner. I don't know what Robbie Anderson is going to look like. I mean, if you want to count him as a free agent, I guess we have to. But, you know, I just don't know what the market is going to look like for him. And honestly, there's a couple guys, you know, receiver-wise, that are interesting. You know, I think about – oh, what's his name? It's a Kansas City guy.
Tarico?
No. It's one of the other receivers.
Sammy Watkins?
No. DeMarcus Robinson. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you think about a guy like that that has all the speed in the world. He's just in an offense where there's Travis Kelce and there's Carlos, like, or, you know, there's Tarico Hill. Like, you have guys in that offense that just are going to demand the ball much more. And I wonder with a guy like that, if Kansas City lets him get out of the house, what his contract, you know, demands would be. I think it's going to be smaller than Robbie Anderson, and yet I think he brings a lot of the same things to the table. And so that's an interesting skill position guy that we might want to keep an eye on. And then, honestly, you know, I agree with you on corners. You know, I'm a little bit burnt right now coming off, you know, this Tremaine Johnson fiasco, but I do wonder, you know, if there's a couple of guys out there that might really be interesting. You know, Marcus Peters is going to be a free agent, and I don't know what he's going to demand on the open market. And I don't know if this, you know, Joe Douglas led front office is going to be interested in another splash at the cornerback position. But man, like, he's going to be there. You know, Bashaud Breeland's going to be out there, like Mo Claiborne. Like, there's a lot of names, well-known guys. I think Eli Apple's going to be a free agent.
Yep, that's right.
And, you know, there's just a lot of guys out there that, like, you know, you could certainly bring in some talent, and then hopefully, again, still draft well and develop some players. But, yeah, I agree with you. That corner would be a nice position to address in the offseason, provided we don't run into another Tremaine Johnson.
Fair enough.
There's not another one out there, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully no more icebergs in this water. That'd be great. Travis, I was reading, I'm going to pull this up. I was reading, our man, Brian Costello's work in the New York Post, this morning. Yep. And he was basically just kind of, you know, doing a kind of junk drawer style, you know, just a bunch of different topics. And so he kind of writes, you know, it's no secret Adam Gase is not popular with Jets fans. You know, I've said I don't think he should be fired. Some have asked me why. And he kind of says, hey, listen, I'm around the team a lot. And obviously I wouldn't be doing my job the right way if I wasn't, you know, trying to do lots of extra things than kind of what you see on TV. And so he says, it struck me in the postgame locker room why I think Gase deserves more time. He and Joe Douglas were standing near the locker room door as we conducted interviews, we being the press. They were smiling. Yes, Gase sometimes smiles and joking. The two men were clearly basking in the glow of a victory, albeit an ugly one. It reminded me that the sense I get is this franchise is more aligned than I've seen it since the Rex Ryan Mike Tannenbaum days. Again, win are the ultimate measure of everything. There's no guarantee harmony will lead them to the championship or the playoffs. But the Jets organization has felt like a Game of Thrones episodes in time in the last 7 years, whether it was John Idzik, Rex Ryan fighting, or Todd Bowles, Mike Maccagnan, have no relationship or fighting with people on the business side. There's always been sniping and disharmony. Gase, and here's the kind of end here, Gase, Douglas, and the team president, Jaime Elhai, are all on the same page. And they seem to actually like each other. You may say, who cares? I get it. It might seem like it means nothing, but my suspicion is these three will agree on a plan and see it through. There won't be finger pointing about the coaching or the roster talent. I think there's value in that. We'll see if I'm right. So, like, that's a long way of saying I tried to take the long view with this approach. I've wanted to see this through. I've seen evidence of things that I like, and I think, you know, they're kind of on the right trajectory, and that ultimately, you know, these people can work together. Now, he didn't say they're going to be successful and they're going to win the Super Bowl, but he just said that there seems to be harmony. And maybe it's from the wins, who knows what it's from, but that he likes what he sees and he thinks they're trending in the right direction. Do you agree? And it's okay to agree. It's okay to disagree. I'm just curious, Travis, what do you think about that insight from Brian Costello?
I mean, we've talked about my feelings on firing Gase before, and there's always been one, like the one thread that I hang on to that keeps me from going, yep, we should, well, actually, no, it never keeps me from saying that we should fire him. But the one thing that keeps me at a point where I would be okay if he doesn't get fired is keeping that level of consistency. We've got a young quarterback. I don't want him to turn into Alex Smith where he's finally good 6 years later when he's finally got, you know, stability at an offensive coordinator
on a different team.
So I like the fact that there is some harmony and consistency. I think that's an undervalued thing. But I think at the end of the day, that's all well and good as long as the plan isn't complete dog shit. And right now what I'm seeing is the plan may very well be dog shit. Like, I don't give a shit if anyone is agreeing on a bunch of crap. Like, agree on something that's good. That end of the day, that's what needs to happen. You can be friends. You can all be on the same page. I just want that page to be freaking good, something that's worth my time and effort and love of this team. And at the end of the day, that's what I want. And I don't know if you can really get to that point if there isn't harmony, but I don't give a shit about the harmony if the plan isn't good.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Hey, guys, before I send you back to Brian, just want to remind you that if you want to make the trip up to Buffalo this weekend for the Jets and Bills, go to the Vivid Seats mobile app, download it, and use the promo code OVERTIME. Get up to $100 off on your very first purchase, which could be that Jets-Bills game, or you could use it for something else, maybe a concert, a boxing match, a wrestling match, a basketball game, a hockey game, whatever it is you want to use it for, you can get a great deal right now. Just download the Vivid Seats mobile app, enter the promo code OVERTIME, and you'll get yourself up to $100 off on your very first purchase. All right, Brian, sorry about that. Go ahead, my man.
I guess what I've kind of maintained from the beginning is I don't think Gase is the right hire, will wind up being the right hire. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, it's easy to be a hater and to be a doubter because, you know, by and large, numbers are on your side. How many coaches coach in the NFL? Are head coaches in the NFL? And, you know, what is the subset of those coaches? What percentage of those coaches actually win Super Bowls? You know, very few. excuse me. So it's easy to be, you know, a hater and be right. That said, like, I will happily take the L if Adam Gase, you know, proves to be a better coach than I believe him to be. But I think maybe more than anything, you know, once he gets that scripting thing figured out, and I do like Joe Douglas, maybe, irrationally, I don't really have enough data on him, but I do think he's the right kind of GM for this team. And so I'm kind of more hanging my hat on Joe Douglas will be able to get the sort of talent that this team needs, and that will kind of obviate whatever Adam Gase can bring to the table or not bring to the table. It's going to be more about the talent. So I don't know. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'll be probably more quiet in the off season than I would be had the Jets only won, you know, three or four games. But right, I'm still kind of, I'm not taking any L's on Adam Gase just yet. When it comes to his ability or what he's gonna you know, wind up ultimately being with this team.
Has anyone figured out exactly who Mr. Ed Reed was referring to in his video that he made awesome while at the Jets facility?
No, I totally missed this.
Oh my God,
fill me
really?
In. I completely missed it. Yes, fill me in.
He's filming himself like at the facility, at the practice facility. He went and he met with Jamal Adams, and I don't know what he was doing there, but he goes on this rant about how there's people that get jobs that aren't necessarily qualified to be in them, but they continue to get them, and it's kind of confusing and quixotic. And he never says who he's referring to, but he makes it very evident that he's at the Jets facility. Like, he's kind of panning around a little bit behind him. You see the Atlantic Health symbol and everything, and then he's posting pictures of him and Maul together, and it's like, okay, are you talking about Gase? Are you talking about Greg Williams? Where are you going with this?
Yeah, that's a good point. I have to think, well, I don't know for sure, but I would have to think he's got to be talking about Greg Williams, but I don't know for sure. That would be my first guess. The other guess is, like, he's been drinking some bitter beer over Hines Ward having that kind of a job? Like, I don't know.
That was my thought.
My immediate thought was Hines Ward. I'm like, maybe not. I don't know. So you thought that too?
I thought it was Hines Ward. I mean, you know, obviously they played a million games against each other. For the Steelers and Ravens, obviously they've had, like, just, you know, as players, there were always little shoving things. I did a little bit of an internet deep dive just to figure out, like, is there a real beef that's between the two of them? And there doesn't seem to be anything confirmed on the internet. But if you look at a guy like Hines Ward, it's not like all of a sudden, you know, he was going to, you know, learn how to be a coach somewhere. Like, he just kind of popped up on the Jets radar this year. And so I am surprised that Ed Reed would kind of do that publicly. I don't think there weren't really many ties to Adam Gase or Joe Douglas. I didn't see any ties to any of the players on the current Jets roster that maybe would have had an issue with Ed Reed in the past. Who knows? But my immediate thought was that he's talking about Hines Ward and just trying to roast him from within his facility. Like, and Hines was, you know, obviously a little bit more vocal this week. You know, I want the Gatorade bath, the whole thing. Go ahead.
I thought it was Gase. I mean, considering like everything that happened with Jamal going into the trade deadline, and considering Ed was hanging out with Jamal most of the time, I was like, all right, he's working as a mouthpiece for Jamal, because Jamal's trying to not be that guy right now, I guess. And you know, he probably had a little pull aside with Ed and talked a little, vented a little frustrations, and that was the way I that's where my mind immediately went to. I was like, okay, he's saying what Maul wants to say right now, and can't really.
No, and I mean, yeah, that makes perfect sense too. Right, I think they both fit. I think they both fit. But yeah, I'm sure. I would have to imagine Ed is looking for a job, right? I mean, he was a coach with the Bills in 2016, so I'm sure he would welcome that sort of an opportunity. So when he sees his old rival Hines Ward, it makes sense. Or when he sees Greg Williams, who's kind of a plague on the league at this point, he might be upset. But right, I mean, Adam Gase, and I think the point here that I make is the fact that we're having this conversation. As I think about this, the fact that we're having this conversation and we can't tell who it is. Like, if we can't definitively say, oh, he's totally talking about Hines Ward, it's kind of worrisome, right? Because it's like,
exactly. Oh, well,
it could be this person, or it could be that person, or it could be this other person, right? Like, oh, like that's not a great sign. That tells me there's some issues there in terms of the coaching staff, or just, you know, the organization as a whole, that you're like, okay, not awesome. Sad. I'm sad.
I mean, it could be Chris, you know, Christopher Johnson for all we know. I mean, there's so many options that, yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's that fit,
right? Anybody could have committed this murder, right? Like, I just, anybody, yeah, we're all there. Everyone's a suspect. Everyone's a suspect here. So.
And it's kind of counterintuitive to like what Costello was saying about the harmony. I mean, like, or maybe that is the harmony. They're all terrible.
I won't call you out if you won't call me out. Like, whew, well, that we really skated by that game. Wow.
I would love to see Ed Reed just take this little trick on the road and once a year show up at the Denver Broncos facility and give the exact same speech and just rile up all the fans and cause some discourse. I wonder if he's trying to get himself a job.
I have to imagine he is. And that was what I'm thinking about. Is he upset because maybe he applied for something, some sort of assistantship, and he didn't get it, and so now he's just burning it all down, right? Like maybe Maul got him an interview as a defensive assistant, and he didn't get it, and so now he's just burning it to the ground in front of the Jets facility. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I don't know, but this is fascinating. I always love the soap operas. I'm a big fan of the soap operas, so... And I'm like, serious, because that's the stuff that you don't ever get to hear. But the truth is, there's so much stuff, right, beyond what you see on Sunday that happens that we just have no clue about. And the more we know, the more it just helps us and inform our fandom, and maybe set expectations. Or like the thing that's so hard about football, right, is that there's 11 men on the field at the same time. And there's so many different things. There's so many variables that can happen in any one play, let alone over the course of the game, let alone over the course of a season. It's hard to pin things on specific people. So I am all about all the information, all the dirt, all the who's out at the club, who's playing flip cup with Daniel Jones and Eli Manning. Like I want it all. I want it all. And so that's interesting. So thanks for sharing that. I didn't know that. We are getting close on time. I'm sure poor Josh needs a break. He needs to not be talking and running around and doing all kinds of things. But before we do that, I have to ask you, I asked you guys this last year, and I haven't even thought of anything yet, so I'm going to think about something. But I need your best 2019 holiday hacks. So, like, what is it that's going to make your family love you more because you're so awesome because you did this thing over the next week? What's it going to be? What's your holiday hack?
Yeah. So I am the sibling /son/son-in-law that always shows up to you know, the present unwrapping, the, you know, we're giving out gifts, everybody's unwrapping. Mm-hmm. I show up with as many scratch off cards and little, like little yes. airplane bottles of liquor that I can find. And just like supplement everybody's stocking, everybody's gift. And like, there's the thanks for the gift, but like, now let me sit and see if I won some money. Mm-hmm. There's just something about, I'm giving you the chance to win $5,000. That is right. very rewarding for people. And also, you don't have to spend a ton of money. Like, you could spend $50, show up with, you know, a bunch of little bottles of Jameson and a bunch of scratch off tickets and be the hero of Christmas unwrapping for the parents. Travis, that's my hack.
Travis, did I have a stroke, or did the one ordained pastor on this podcast just advise scratch off sure tickets did. And bottles of liquor?
100%.
Gambling and drinking. Listen, I love the holidays, and I love the holidays when my family is happy.
Well, that's good. And you know your family well, and that's, you know, you got to give. That's the thing about gifts, right? It's not about what you want to give them. It's about what they want to receive. And what you're telling us is that your family is a bunch of mini drunk gamblers. It's cool. It's totally cool.
Know your audience, guys.
Travis, do you have a hack for us as the resident chef?
Always like befriend a chef, like around, like it'll come in handy in the holidays, because there's so much cooking that you have to do and so many, you know, really cool things that you may not be able to find at the grocery store that, you know, I have so many people come up to me like, oh, you know, I really want to have some Alan Benton's bacon at Christmas, but I don't know how. And I'm like, oh, well, Alan's like, let me call him right now. How much do you want? Or, you know, I want some smoked sturgeon, you know, from back when I was in Chicago, but I can't, mm-hmm. okay, well, let me call. Like I got you covered. I mean, I'm ordering this stuff anyway, so it's no skin off my back. And, also like I'll charge you like a handling fee. So I'm making money on mm-hmm. it. And, yeah, so it's all good. Mm-hmm.
Travis, I need Anson Mills grits, and I need Alan Benton's bacon, and I need you to mm-hmm. overnight it. Can you do that?
I have all of the above. I can do it. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you need Ocetra caviar? I got you. I mean, that's the thing. And then also, like, you know what? I have a full kitchen at my disposal, you know, a commercial one. So, mm-hmm. you know what? You don't feel like making a holiday dinner? You know, give me a call. I might be willing to help you out. I'm probably going to make mine at the restaurant anyways, because I'm there anyways.
So chef friends, yes. that's the key. Okay. That's good to know. I appreciate that.
And we do take payment in alcohol, you know, like, so you could always like slip us, you know, a bottle of bourbon, and we'll, yeah. you know, we'll make it a little extra good.
How about scratch off tickets? Do you take payment in scratch off tickets?
Yeah, I can do that too.
my holiday hack is not a help to my family. It's a help to my own mental health. So I'm going to give this one to people. So my job, I'm kind of sales business development role at my company. And, this is the time of year where no one wants to meet. No one wants to talk. Most everybody's on vacation. If you haven't sold stuff by this point, you're a bad salesperson. And so what's nice about this time is that it's relatively quiet. You can't get people on the phone or in a meeting or whatever. And so the thing that happens in my world is oftentimes at work, I'm running around on other people's schedule, and this is one chance I actually get to work on my own schedule. So it affords me the chance to do some kind of administrative stuff, cleanup stuff that I just, you know, I don't think about, to do some strategic planning for the next year, all that kind of stuff that I just don't make time to normally. So I actually like to work at this time. I like to take my vacation kind of in the summer, get like 2 full weeks off, that kind of a thing. And then come back, you know, like when I do that, like come back refreshed in the middle of the summer, work really hard. But then also my children, I have 3 children, and they never agree on ever anything at any point in time. And they're always like, you know, two are always at odds about something. And so I also use it as an opportunity to do a little work where I'm like, oh gee, I used up all my vacation in the summertime. Like I'm going to have to get a day here and a day there between now and the end of the year. And my wife is like, oh yeah, that's fine. I understand. So like today I'm working, And I'll work, you know, one or two days more before the end of the year. But I'm definitely going to be spending time with my family. But my hack is use up your vacation time. If you're not traveling at the end of the year, use up your vacation time and then work a little bit when nobody else is working. And it's just like you get to, you know, commute to a quiet office and then come home and, you know, it's total shit show. Then you dive in right in the evening. So my hack is work a little bit over the holidays because you won't go insane when your kids are home for 2 weeks straight. So that's my advice.
So Jets audience, if you get anything out of this, buy and bring your family scratch tickets and liquor. Mm-hmm. Find a chef that wants a little side hustle to make some money off of your needs and work through the holidays to avoid your family. Merry Christmas, Jets fans.
Yay. 'Tis the season.
I mean, this is what we do, guys. Like, we're here for our audience. We're trying to help these people, right? I think we really helped some people today. I'm really proud of the work we did. I'm really proud.
I'm recording this in a Walmart parking lot, and I'm pretty sure I just saw an elderly person remove their adult diaper and place it in the spot next to them.
Oh. No.
Merry Christmas.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. That's exactly right. Any more thoughts before we go into this break? We'll resume hopefully sometime next week. I don't know what your schedules are like, but we'll find a time to resume after week 17, chat about the last week of the game against the last game of the season against the Bills, another tough defense, another, you know, team with a great secondary. So we'll see how this one goes, and they have a quarterback who can actually throw touchdowns and stay on the field. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But, so I'm excited. Thank you for all your hard work this year, gentlemen. It has been a pleasure. I enjoy this podcast so much. It's a chance to hang out. And Josh, I will say, before we leave, I do have to say you missed a golden opportunity to come down to Richmond to pick up your Hardywood Gingerbread Stout beer and hang out with both Travis and I at Guar Bar last week.
Getting the photo while I was helping my wife bring up boxes of Christmas decorations of Travis flipping me off from Guar Bar from the text from Brian Bassett made me so sad. I will say we had a very faithful friend of ours, illegally shipped, illegally, we can have the conversation another time. Mm-hmm. The case of beer to me, it arrived this morning, cold on my doorstep. Ooh, I'm nice. Just cracking open my first gingerbread stout of the year, and it's now Christmas time. Everybody, go enjoy it.
Wonderful. All right, well, thank you. Happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. We will talk to you next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.